What's up, listeners? We are going to start her off with little beers, bad beats, Battlestar Galaxy brain before we recap week four in the NFL, where Coin and I did not have our best gambling week. Alas, on this week's pod, Coin and I are going to tell you which two characters from completely different TV shows would be friends if they were to meet in real life. Lastly, we'll preview week five and give out our best bets, including teaser night football and the Gucci Mane dog picks of the week. Let's do it.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh my.
Oh, welcome back, my friends. That, of course, is the sound of two cold, crisp brews being popped. And this is the luscious sound of one of your loving hosts from The Rookie Show, Elvis Coin, joining me, as always, from Chicago. Do you have a nickname for me? Give me something.
Tits McGee.
Tits McGee! In his rightful chair, staring at his kitchen, very nice hardwood, it is Travis Knoll. Oh, what up, Knoll?
What up, a coin? How you doing, Coin? What's good?
Oh, not much, Noel. You know, just kicking back, drinking beers, talking to friends.
Oh, friends? We're friends?
We're friends now.
Still?
Still friends after last week after a very rude voicemail, but that's okay.
Right. Okay.
Well, Noel, what do you say we kick it into high gear and we get into our first event of the night? And
I think that sounds great.
All right. Well, why don't you let the people know where we're going, TJ?
Teej, let us know. What are we about to do?
Beers? Bad beats? Battlestar Galaxy brain.
Oh, thank you, TJ. That's right, everybody. It's time.
Always a pleasure, Teej.
Always a pleasure. Time for another round of beers, bad beats, and Battlestar Galaxy brain. Noel, why don't you tell me what you're drinking this evening?
Coin, I am drinking an Alarmist Brewing Le Juice.
Oh, it sounds France. I'm out. I hate French people.
The French
hate
the
French culture.
It is actually a New England style IPA.
Okay.
It
even
is
worse.
2018 Gold Juicy Hazy IPA. Brewed in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
I had this beer one time at a bar and really liked it. And this is the first time I've seen it in a can at the store. It's definitely one of my favorites. It's really good.
I actually quite like the can. It's this nice clementine kind of color with some. It's got a very neon retro vibe going on.
It is retro. It's got the orange can with the pink and purple letters, kind of the big block letters that say Le Jus.
Le Jus.
Le Jus. You think you don't pronounce the S? Probably. Mm-hmm. It says visit our tap room now. So I guess I have to.
I think that can is the first time I've ever seen a bottle on a can. It's got the upside down bottle on the back, if you keep it right there.
It does, yeah.
Independent I've never seen that. That's craft. Pretty cool.
Okay. What are you drinking, Coin?
Noel, I am drinking just a normal Silver Bullet with the Blue Mountains. So there's a reason I'm actually drinking this. I chose to bring this to the pod today. It's not what was just left in my fridge.
Okay.
We both got hammered this last weekend gambling. It was rough.
We did indeed. Yes, we got shit housed.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was kick it back to where football is at its base point. It's just, you know, kicking back Sunday, enjoying a brew. And I also wanted to give credence to the Blue Mountains. This is some can ingenuity, and I don't know if we've talked about it enough. Nobody else in the biz is doing this.
Why hasn't somebody else caught on to the changing
color? Let me know when my beer
cans.
Is cold. Let me know. Right. I want to know. That's one of the most important things I want to know, actually.
What about, like, one of those cups that when you fill it up, the person has clothes on, and then when you drink it all, their clothes come off? Could that be on a beer can?
That could definitely be on a beer can. Like, what? Can you make transparent metal, or would it have to be, like, a plasticky look?
Transparent metal. Genius. We just came up with the next
That's
big idea.
That's a galaxy brain right there, baby.
Invisible cars and stuff. I mean, I don't... possibilities are...
Who's our... What's the guys from SpongeBob? Barnacle Boy and...
Something Man. It's Something Man.
Oh, come on, Noel. I know you got it.
It's got to be an M. It's alliteration.
Mermaid Man.
Mermaid Man.
Mermaid Man. I didn't have Mermaid to look it up. Man. I was typing it in, but it was not in there.
Got it. Okay.
Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Nice.
But yes, that is the transparent metal is what.
Oh, okay. It took me quite a while to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Okay. Got it. The invisible car. Okay.
Yes.
So, transparent metal.
Well, get on it, scientists.
Get on it.
Come on,
figure it
science.
Out, guys. Come on.
Well, what about your beers from the weekend, Noel? Tell me about those. What do we got going on?
You know, oddly enough, Coyne, I didn't really drink any beers this weekend. So I'm going to tell you, I had some wine on Friday night watching the Lakers win game two.
Bingo.
And Saturday morning, got up and went to a gourmet donut shop called the Donut Vault.
Oh, shit.
Where they have...
I like the word vault. It's a good word.
Right. It is a good... It makes it sound... important? I don't know if that's the right word.
There's a different word.
Intense, maybe?
Maybe. I feel like there's another word in there.
Okay, there's another word.
Bold.
The Donut Vault has one jelly donut and one specialty donut every day that's different. So one day it might be a raspberry jelly, one day it might be grape jelly, strawberry, blah, blah, blah. So I'm a... Raspberry jelly, in my opinion, is the ultimate donut.
That is
don't
correct.
Don't even
that
offer
is
me. It's the correct answer. Yeah. So, they post their specials every week.
Is it grape jelly last?
I've never had a grape jelly donut, but
neither
I imagine
have I.
It would be
I
last.
Would be uncomfortable if they handed me a purple jelly donut, though. Be,
right. They also have, like, apricot jelly donut. Get that shit out of here.
That's like a 1 in 150 thing.
So, they post their specials... But they post them on Saturday morning for the week, so we didn't actually know what it was going to be, hoping it was going to be raspberry. Turned out it was a peanut butter and jelly donut, and it was raspberry jelly. So it was a phenomenal donut. I think I prefer just the plain raspberry jelly, but I have to say the change of pace was nice. And that's, for some reason, that's my beers for the weekend. I had a donut instead of a beer. That was the carbs that I replaced.
Okay. Yeah. I can't say that I knew you were a jelly donut guy. I don't think I would have expected that, to be honest with you. I knew you weren't like a chocolate donut guy.
Right. But I'm appalled that I haven't made that more well known to you because I feel very, very
like,
strongly.
Like, are you a fervent jelly donut guy?
Fervent, yes. That's the best way to put it. I am a stan of jelly donuts.
Oh, shit, you stan them. I had no idea.
Yes, without a doubt.
Do you think you could guess what my filling of choice is? I'm sure we've talked about this at some point.
It's a custard, right?
Yeah, it's custard. Custard's my fucking jam. I love it.
That's fucked. So if that's your favorite...
That's fucked. You don't love it?
How far behind is jelly?
I do like a jelly donut. It's definitely above cream. Cream and dead last.
I have to say, every now and then, I've been in between our job site and our office, there's a Dunkin'. And Dunkin' Donuts has shitty donuts, don't get me wrong.
I don't think I've ever had a donut from Dunkin' Donuts.
They're cheap, and they do have a pumpkin donut right now. Pumpkin donuts are good.
So, this we'll get into. I feel like there's been a lot of talk about it, like, oh, this pumpkin shit's so basic from, like, Starbucks, whatever. I'll go with my girlfriend sometimes. She always gets, like, the nitro pumpkin cold brew.
Yeah.
It's fucking delicious.
It's really good.
So good.
That's what Katie gets, too.
It's so good.
Yeah. Can't be overstated.
So I would like to stop the slander. I would say it's probably too sweet for me. I couldn't drink a whole one. But that's phenomenal.
Thank you. You took the words out of my mouth. Katie and I got one the other day. And the first, like, half of it, I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I can finish this. However, I also want to say... that I stan the pumpkin chocolate chip cookies at Vans in Helena.
Was just talking about those the other week.
I'm a noted stan of those. I was looking around in the grocery store the other day to see if our local one had something similar. They don't. It's bullshit.
The big fat ones, too.
Oh, they're
like,
fat?
They're like an inch and a half thick.
Oh, some they're very thick. Boys. Yeah, they thick with two C's.
Oh, definitely. My roommate... Leah, she says that she makes them the exact same way. Like she basically found the Vans recipe and makes them at home. So they're doing like a whole 30 thing right now. It's kind of lame. So I don't get to benefit from the cookies yet. But once
that's
over,
whole 30 thing.
I don't know. They don't get to eat like any kind of, it's like keto on steroids kind of. They don't get to eat anything good. They also can't drink any alcohol, so.
Gotcha. Okay.
Basically a suicide pact.
That was a very big tangent. Why don't you tell me about your beers for the weekend?
Right, it was a big tangent. Weirdly enough, Noel, I also didn't really have that many beers this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I had some beer to watch the Lakers win on Friday night. That was fantastic.
Of course.
Enjoyed myself, and then I went over and met a bunch of my girlfriend's new roommate's friends, so that was just and I love meeting new people, though, so that was always fun.
So, wait, your girlfriend's new roommate's friends. So, it's a new roommate of your girlfriend, or her roommate
just moved into
got
a new
friends?
Spot. Okay. So that's a good question, actually. Very, very important.
Where? What does the new apply to?
Yeah. I should have put a comma in there at some point.
You didn't say new girlfriend, so that's out of the way.
My girlfriend's new roommate friend.
Friends of your girlfriend's new roommate. Okay.
It's basically my girlfriend's new friends.
Sure.
But they were really cool. And then on Saturday, we did something that I had honestly never done. I just never even really considered it to be a possibility. We tried to go to an apple orchard one. Turns out they book those here in Oregon because this is the most fucking basic state in the world. Like, they're completely full. Like, a reservation's completely full.
Is that a COVID thing?
I want to think so, but I honestly think that this place just gets so busy.
Wow, okay. That's wild.
But then we did go to a corn maze, and it was like a trivia corn maze, so they would ask you questions to turn. I fucks with trivia. You know this about me. And you know this. But there was also like an extra part of it where you had to go find extra things in the maze, so we would have to go to the sign, purposefully turn incorrectly to go find something else in the maze, and then come back through it. It was quite time consuming, but it was worth it. And then I got a corn dog at the end, and it was amazing. It was a good day.
Corn dogs, Jackie. It sounds like a good day. I think you've sparked some interest in Katie. I think we're gonna go try to find a corn maze. Maybe this weekend. Maybe it's supposed to be. It's probably gonna be the last nice weekend in Chicago. It's supposed to be super nice. It was hella nice today.
Hella?
It was hella nice. It was like
not hecka though.
67 and sunny with a slight breeze.
That sounds incredible. It's been kind of smoky again here.
What the? Put those fires out.
I know. Put them out. Put them out.
Scientists, put out the fires. Make some
clear
metal. Come
on, Doc. We ain't scientists.
I don't know what that is.
Really? I think it's from Walk the Line. I can't remember though. Anywho,
Walk Hard.
Walk Hard. That's what I meant. All right. Any hoosers, what do you got for your bad beats, Noel?
Bad beats coin. We'll get more into our gambling later. I very nearly had one of the worst fantasy bad beats of all time. I know everyone loves to hear about other people's fantasy teams.
Yeah,
but
I think this is
a story worth telling. So entering Monday night, and I still had Matt Ryan and Travis Kelce to play.
True.
And a 45-point lead, which is a ridiculous amount of points. My opponent, Christian Kerr, shouts, had Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, so I was in trouble, right? Oh, Davante Adams decides not to play. Christian goes to the waiver wire, picks up some dude named Robert Tonyan, who definitely is in the NFL and has been for some time, and I've been a fan of his. It got so bad, he threw three tugs to Tonyan, and it got to the point where I was up by 1.9, and Matt Ryan had the ball in desperation. And I was like, he is definitely throwing a pick for me to lose by 0.1. And he got sacked and lost the ball. Did you see that at the end of the game?
Yeah, but he got
it back. If he had fumbled that, I would have lost by a tenth of a point after a 45-point Monday night lead. That would have been brutal.
Brutal. But you did not end up losing?
Alas. I pulled out the victory, and it was my first win in that league of the year. So
that was your first win in the BIG?
And Christian and I were both 0-3, so sent him to
0-4.
He's the second leading scorer in the league, and he's 0-4.
That sucks so bad.
Yeah, and I'm the last leading scorer in the league. but my real bad beat is that my Dwayne Haskins jersey that I ordered in August still hasn't been delivered to my house, and he's already been benched. That's a bad beat for you.
Dwayne, you should get, well, you should just see if you can switch it up for a Kyle Allen jersey. Nobody, I mean, what a name, Kyle Allen. That's fun. You'll remember that one forever.
Kyle Allen, without a doubt, will go down as one of my favorite players of all time.
One of the greatest skins. I don't know if you saw, but I saw on Twitter there was like a Brown style t-shirt with all your starters over the last 25 years or whatever.
That would be interesting to get. Now, I do want to say there was definitely a point last year where I'm pretty sure where there were three different Allen starting quarterbacks, Josh, Kyle, and Brandon for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty positive we had ranked Kyle ahead of Josh at some point.
Absolutely not. I've been a Josh guy.
I think based on the way they were playing earlier last year, Carolina was like 5-2 with Kyle Allen.
If you can go find a quote of me saying that Kyle is better than Josh, I will believe you.
All right. Well, I said it.
You definitely said it.
All right. What about your bad beats, Quinn?
I will just go into my gambling ones. I had a couple pretty bad beats this weekend. I did lose a decent amount of cash this weekend.
Yeah.
Not the least of which was, so Monday night, obviously a Falcons fan, which is brutal. Right. I will say really quickly, I would rather the Falcons lose in that fashion than have to watch them blow a lead any day of the week. That was so much easier to stomach. It wasn't that bad. I was like, this is great. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Like, for a second, yeah, sure, sure. Maybe I convinced myself they were coming back. Maybe. Maybe. But I knew they weren't. And so I had the over in that game, but I had teased it, so it was down to 51.
Mm.
And I also had teased the Falcons up to plus 11. And at one point, with 4 minutes left, with the score at 30-16, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
The Falcons had the ball on the 25-yard line. It was fourth down. And Matt Ryan underthrows a wide-open Calvin Ridley in the end zone. It hits his hands, gets knocked out. That would have both covered the over and the Falcons spread, and I would have been up money on the week, but instead I am down $125-ish.
That is a bad beat indeed, and not only that, it was your own team. So
it was my own team, exactly.
That's why you don't bet your own team, Coin.
I've been as adamant about that as anybody else, and I continue to do it. Do I love pain? I don't know. Maybe.
Listen,
maybe.
I certainly will not be breaking any of our gambling rules when we get to the end of this podcast. That's a fact.
My other bad beat is from last night with the Lakers. I was confident that they would come out and kind of kick the shit out of the Heat. Mm. It actually was a much better game than I thought.
Mm.
So I bet the Lakers minus 7.5. LeBron, so Lakers up 7. Mm-hmm. LeBron gets fouled with 12 seconds left, I believe.
Yeah, sounds right.
And I thought for certain that it would be LeBron missing 2 free throws. That was going to screw me.
Yes.
And I was like, this is actually kind of perfect. But
right.
No, he goes up and he cashes both of them.
Right.
And then, with 1.1 seconds left, in a shot that does not matter whatsoever, it literally has no impact on the game. He could have just broken his leg right there and been just the same.
Yep.
Tyler Herro comes down the court and drains a 3 to put it at 6 points instead of 9.
Yep.
That's pretty bad beat.
Definitely a bad beat. I feel for you, Coin. I can't make that any better.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay by me. Well, that's it for the bad beats for the weekend. Let's get into everybody's most favoritest part. The Battlestar Galaxy Brain. Noel, would you like to go first or would you like me to go first? Mine is also sports-based this week.
All right. Mine, I really screwed the pooch here. I don't technically have one this week.
That is okay. I blew it.
But I have it's a brief comment, and it's a comment from my last week's Battlestar.
Okay.
So last week, I talked about how the Tennessee Titans galaxy-brained their way into getting COVID with the hopes that they could get some of their games against their difficult opponents canceled and not rescheduled. Well, wouldn't you know it, crafty old Bill Belichick decides to give both Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore the Rona the week before they play the Kansas City Chiefs. He was onto it too. He tried as hard as he could. He thought for sure Cam, who's in the building more than anybody and is friendly and has all the relationships with everybody, he's going to spread it to everybody. But somehow he didn't. Or he maybe didn't. The league's lying and only he got it. And apparently now, as of today, Gilmore got it. So they played the game as planned. So, I mean, you could go another step and say, okay, he knew he was going to lose anyway. So he gave Cam the Rona so he'd have a built-in excuse to lose to the Chiefs if he was playing with Hoyer or Stidham. I could see that one. But I'm leaning more towards he thought more guys would get it. They'd cancel the game. Maybe they wouldn't have to play him at all.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think he planned on screwing his team into losing against the Chiefs and starting Stidham and Brian Hoyer.
But if he knew they were going to lose with Cam regardless, which they were.
To keep Cam's confidence up throughout the year. I like this.
Exactly. Yeah, and his own coaching ability, because he'd be like, okay, nobody can win that game.
After watching that game, it's amazing that there was even a few articles written about how there would be an actual quarterback competition. What an incredible stance to take that possibly Jarrett Stidham was better than Cameron Newton.
Absurd.
Jarrett Stidham doesn't even have his own font. Cam has his own font.
How many fonts do you have, Jarrett?
Oh, how many fonts do you have, Jared? None.
Hey, oh, it's Jarrett with a T, by the way.
Is it Jarrett Stidham? Yeah. Are you sure? I thought it was Jared Stidham.
No, it's Jarrett. Is that better or worse?
That's way worse. What do you mean, is it better or worse?
Quick question for you. Would this be the worst beat of all time if Cam could never come back from COVID and he doesn't hit the over 5.5 rushing touchdowns for the year?
Oh, my God. After hitting 4 in the first 2 weeks, this would be the worst beat we've ever had, yeah.
All right, well, let's keep an eye on it.
Okay, I'll monitor closely.
All right, give me your Battlestar Galaxy
Brain. All right, this is my Battlestar Galaxy Brain. So normal brain is, this is about the Chicago Bears quarterback battle and quarterback room.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, normal brain is that you start Mitch because we have to, because we drafted him high, and he's a dual threat quarterback.
Sure, of course.
Big brain, start Foles because he's actually better at playing quarterback than Mitch Trubisky is, you would think it would be a more important qualification in being the starting quarterback for a team. Start the better player, right?
You would think, but this is taking it to the next level.
Yeah. So giant brain is start Mitch, get down, and then bring in Foles because he is obsessed with being an underdog, and that's the only reason that the Eagles also won the Super Bowl.
He loves to come off the bench, be the no-name guy.
Has to do it.
Yep.
Has to do it. Galaxy brain.
Yep.
Start Foles. Bring in Mitch. Because there is no way that anyone on planet Earth would think that you could possibly bring in Mitch Trubisky. Therefore, he is the ultimate sleeper player. You do that every game and ride him straight to a Super Bowl title.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's correct.
The ultimate curveball that no one sees coming.
They certainly won't do it 7 weeks in a row.
They'll be like, well, this week.
I don't call him second half Trubisky for nothing.
What if they just alternated every week? What if it was
that
just...
That would be amazing.
They alternated the starter and they always pulled their starter. If they go down at all. So if the other team scores first, okay, you're out. And then the next week that guy starts. So the only way you get to play the whole game is if you lead wire to wire.
Wow.
I kind of like that.
I'm kind of into this plan, yeah.
But I think once you've benched one guy, you can't bench him again like the other guy later in the game, right?
Oh, you can't triple stamp a double stamp right. Like that.
Well, yes, of course. That's one of the big rules of the pod. Yeah. Okay, I'm on board for the Mitch backup train.
Perfect.
The bare right. minimum.
Well, everybody, that has been another episode of Beers.
Beers.
Bad Beats.
Bad Beats.
A Battlestar Galaxy Brain. Whoa, what incredible timing. Good for you.
That was on purpose.
Noel!
Yes, coin!
Let's get to some sports. Let's recap it. Sports.
Let's do it.
All right. Noel, let's start out. Give us three things that piqued our interest from week 4 in the NFL.
Week four in the NFL. Number one thing I'm noticing here is the cream rising to the top. And that is to say, I believe the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and the Packers, to me, feel like kind of the definite no shit. We know that these teams are good and they're going to be there for the rest of the
Bills
year.
Bills too, for sure.
Well, I'm getting there. Just wait. It just so happens that those three teams also have the three best quarterbacks in the league at this point in time. I'm going to give a tier 1B to the Bills. If you're just going, if you're somebody who's never watched the NFL or never watched football or doesn't know, has no context, and you started watching at week one of 2020 and you've watched the first 4 weeks, without a doubt, the Bills are in that tier. They're one of the best four teams. But you got to have a little context. You got to have a little bit. He doesn't have the credentials as the other guys. I'm still putting him at 1B. I still don't think they've beaten anybody that good. They had a 25-point lead against the Rams, which was impressive, but they tried to blow that. So they're still in 1B, and I'm putting Baltimore at 1B as well because I think they still have the potential to be that dominant team from last year. They just haven't quite tapped into that yet. So that's what I'm thinking is the cream, and then I just feel like everybody else, I know teams have shown flashes. Tampa looks like they might be good. Pittsburgh and Tennessee are still undefeated, but who knows? I just think those 3 to 5 teams are separating themselves, and it's still kind of an unknown crapshoot after that.
Yeah, I like what you did there, and I actually I definitely agree with you on the Bills, specifically because football is such a different sport in the terms of when the guy at the helm of your offense, like the most important player in the field is your quarterback, is actually that much better than the rest of the league. Like, they really should. It shouldn't be a ranking of all the quarterbacks. It should always be tiers. It should be, and the tier gaps are like surprisingly large. I feel like, Russ, Mahomes, Rodgers, probably Lamar, and then a pretty considerable gap, and then the second tier of guys. So until we see Josh Allen like beat that tier of guys, I feel like you have to put him in tier 1B.
Yep, exactly. All right, what do you got for number one?
All right, my number one thing is Dallas Cowboys having absolutely the worst defense in the NFL. They have scored negative 14 fantasy points on the year, which is somehow only 31st. The Cardinals are actually worse somehow.
What? And are you serious?
I had no idea. Yeah, it's amazing. In the last 3 weeks, they have given up 40, 38, and 49 points, and somehow won one of those games. also, somehow, Football Outsiders has them as the 24th in defensive efficiency. I don't know how. But, side note on that, is that the Skins, ex-Skins, are fourth.
The Washington football team legitimately has a good defense. That's not a fluky thing. And right. Chase Young's been hurt since first half of the Browns game.
Yep.
But yeah, the Cowboys just getting obliterated and then just scrambling to come back. I have to tell you, Katie can probably attest to this. Odell's run at the end of that game to essentially seal it, 50-yard reverse run for a touchdown against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because Odell's been my fantasy guy since he was a rookie, and I was, in fact, playing him and needed every one of those yards to beat Christian. I was, like, squealing like a pig at how excited I was at that run. That was just, like, pure football adrenaline and happiness for me watching Odell do that to the Dallas Cowboys. So, Dallas having a bad defense is the saving grace of my season.
Hell yes. I also enjoy watching them be bad. It's fun.
I'm pretty bummed that the Niners couldn't beat the freaking Eagles, so that the Skins couldn't be in first at 1-3. But alas, so be it.
So be it.
Quick comment on what we were just talking about before with Josh Allen. The quarterbacks he's beat this year are Sam Darnold, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jared Goff, and Derek Carr.
Those guys are all, what I'm hearing is those guys are all like first and second round picks. So take from that what you will.
He gets Tannehill this week, who you can say what you want about it. Then he gets Mahomes. That'll be a fun one on Thursday, believe it or not.
Oh, the fun Thursday game. The Dems, well, that won't be past the election, so I don't know what the Dems are doing there. Yeah.
He also still has to play Cam twice, Kyler Murray, probably Garoppolo, and Russell Wilson. So, and Big Ben. So we'll see. We'll
see.
The
Bills got a fun schedule this year. That's a good schedule.
Bills definitely do. I think they've. I think they may be exposed. We'll see.
Hey.
All right. Number two for me on things that piqued my interest is the COVID panic meter. Where are we at right now? Because there was a point with the Titans, and then on Sunday morning, they said the Saints tested positive, but then it was a false positive. There was a point where on the COVID panic meter, I was at like a six of like, this season might get canceled today. I'm currently...
With where my team's at, I wouldn't have been that mad.
Right.
I think. No, I was like, yeah,
I'm just for my pure entertainment of gambling and fantasy. Fuck the Redskins, but I'm probably at like a four right now. I'm not convinced the season finishes. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm probably just below that, just because I think that the NFL more than any other league is like, fuck it, we're going through. I don't care. Like, it's such a money-driven league. But even outside of football, it was in a place where I was like, God, it kind of feels like we've kind of been out of the COVID stuff for a while. And I will admit that my roommates both had to go get tested this week because they're at a wedding, and the bride and groom and multiple groomsmen and bridesmaids and the bride and groom's parents all got COVID. So.
Oh shit.
Both tested positive. So, sorry, negative. Positive for not having COVID is what
apparently in the medical world, negative is good.
Negative is good.
Katie also got a test this weekend because she's starting a new job this week. Also negative. So
what?
I didn't know that. Yeah, we're in the clear. Well, an additional job. She didn't leave her old job.
Oh.
She's adding another one.
What's the new one?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
She's a stripper.
I knew it! Oh, I would watch.
No, it's just another therapy job. Anyway. Your turn, right?
Is it? Yes, that's correct. The COVID meter, yeah.
The vidster.
I'm glad you brought it up. I'm scared, though.
Yeah.
All right. I know I touched on this in my Battlestar Galaxy brain, but it's Foles as a starter. Does he need the underdog thing? Like, does he sleep with the dog mask that they had in Philly under his pillow? It seems like the only thing that's driving his life. I get that the Colts defense is much better than the Falcons, but I feel like Mitch probably could have done exactly what he did on Sunday, and I'm excited to see him against the Bucks, though.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Bears.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, we'll get to teaser night football here shortly. But, I am quite interested to see Foles. It's interesting. He signed the big deal with the Jags, broke his collarbone week one, and then Jean Short Jesus mania took over. So we haven't really seen Foles in this role. I have faith, but I don't know. I don't know if the Bears are that good. Were they 3-1?
3-1.
Not bad.
It's a loss to a good Colts team, but I mean, the teams they've beaten are terrible.
Right. For sure. Awful schedule.
Yeah, awful.
Okay, for my number three, I'm cheating, and I have two very, very quick comments about the NBA Finals.
Perfect.
I really, really enjoyed when the Heat went to a zone and the Lakers went to a Anthony Davis, LeBron high-low thing with
LeBron
AD
running
at
the
top of the key and Bron on the baseline. That just got my juices flowing. It just really excited me. Kudos to, I'm guessing that was a Frank Vogel decision. Maybe not. Maybe it was LeBron decision. He runs the team. But I really liked that. And then also, I feel a little vindicated because I feel like I've been team KCP pretty much the whole year. Would you
kind of have. No, I absolutely would agree. And there was definitely a point where I was out, but
He came through. You could argue down the stretch, like they may have lost if it wasn't for KCP last night.
If KCP doesn't get hot in the first quarter of games 2 and 4, the Lakers might be tied 2-2 right now.
Well, not only the first quarter, but last night he had a huge three and then a layup in a row, like when it was within 6 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were big plays. So
Kuzma has also hit some big shots.
Kuzma hasn't been bad.
Kuzma hasn't been bad. And then, of course, Danny Green, who could not possibly hit water if he fell out of a boat. Holy shit, he has been the worst player in the NBA Finals.
Which is funny because he is averaging exactly 1.5 threes per game, which was the over-under, which we bet the over on.
So this is kind of perfect. Either we win or we lose. There's no push. right?
There's no push. Well, if they win the game, you're assuming the Lakers are winning game five.
They're wearing the mama jerseys. That's it. It's over.
I didn't want salmon. I said it four times.
Yeah, I said it four times.
Yeah, he needs to hit two, which I have absolutely zero faith that will happen. He went like 0 for 9 or something one game?
He looks so scared to shoot. Like, when the ball touches his hands, he's pump faking, half driving, and then turns the ball over. It's really tough to watch and very unfortunate.
He runs like a robot with arthritis.
Oh, that's a pretty good description, actually.
Yeah, I just thought
that's
of it.
It's not bad.
All right, that's my third thing.
All right, my third thing, I'm going back to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers throwing to high school kids, like you said earlier. I know I'm not the most in touch with fantasy football, but I definitely play it, like, in multiple leagues, and I watch basically 9 hours of football every single Sunday for 4 months of the year.
Yep.
And I had never in my life heard the name Robert Tonyan before.
Nope, nor had I. Although, I hope somebody shared with me a article that somebody wrote in August saying Robert Tonyan is ready to become Green Bay's George Kittle. So there's apparently somebody out there that believed in Robert Tonyan.
I bet you could find 1,000 of those articles every single year. It's like there's one about Olamide Zaccheaus on the Falcons about how he's like our new deep threat. And I was like, okay, he's our sixth receiver. Why don't you chill the fuck out?
How long have you known about him?
Olamide Zaccheaus. I only knew about him last year because he caught like a 94-yard touchdown from Matt Ryan.
I had no idea who he was. They kept throwing it to him like, who the hell is this number 17 kid?
Yeah. But I hope he is good because there's definitely a play to be made with the whole Tonyan, Paul Bunyan thing with him being really big. So I think there's a little kind of mystery there with some graphics that Fox could do. You know how Fox loves their graphics with the big the robot guy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was thinking like the Monday Night Football graphics. I mean, you could go a lot of ways with that. Okay. We got to start thinking about, Robert Tonyan nicknames and plays on his name. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
All right, Noel, that'll do it for a little recap. To break up sports this week, I thought it was timely and important that you mentioned it earlier. We needed to talk about friendships because we mended our friendship after a very nasty voicemail that you left me.
I have to say, I don't know that I apologized.
You definitely didn't. You definitely didn't.
But I acknowledged that that's just not the type of thing that friends say to other friends.
I kind of enjoyed it. It's fine.
So did.
But what I thought we would do here is that we would talk about friends from TV, because that's where we spend most of our time, especially in COVID times, you know?
Right. True. Good point.
So what I want to know, Noel, is who from different TV shows do you think would be friends?
So you're saying if we were to take characters from two different TV shows.
Bingo.
In two different TV show universes.
Correct.
We're trying to match up their personalities here.
Yes.
I love this, and I've got three for you. You got how many you got?
I got three for you.
Okay, great. I'd like to start it out.
Perfect.
I'm going to start with two shows, The Office.
Okay.
I'd like to choose Michael Scott.
Ugh, gross. I hope you're not making him my friend.
I did not pick you.
Thank you.
I think Michael Scott would be good friends with Randy Marsh from South Park. Yes, I understand one of these people is animated, but hear me out here. Here's
I will be doing the same thing later on, don't you?
Both are white men in their mid-40s living in rural America.
True.
Michael is in a position of power as the branch manager, but everyone kind of acknowledges that he's kind of an idiot. And then on the flip side, on the same side, Randy is this geologist who has a doctorate in geology, but everyone views him as just an idiot. So that's in common. Both of them can be super like self-centered. They exaggerate their problems and want people to feel bad for them. Like Michael, when Kevin might have cancer, but all Michael cares about is his birthday. Or Randy, when he's diagnosed with alcoholism, he thinks it's like a deadly disease. And so he starts wheeling himself around in a wheelchair. I'm telling you, these guys have a lot in common. They both like to pretend to be other people. You got, you know, Michael Scott, obviously, Prison Mike, Agent Michael Scarn, Michael Klump, to name a few. And of course, Randy is the alias for Lord.
I am Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
both of them get like ridiculous ideas and just act on them immediately without thinking about the consequences at all.
Right.
And then lastly, which is maybe the number one thing for me, for some reason, the women in both of these guys' lives just like completely ignore how absurd these guys are and just stay with them. Like some of the shit that they do.
This is Sharon, very true, actually.
Why does Sharon stay with Randy? We don't know. I think they divorce at one point, but they get back together.
Do they actually get divorced?
Yeah, I think they do, yeah. But I think Randy divorces Sharon.
It's probably because of Shelly.
Shelly's dad. And Michael Scott's girlfriend's just like, I don't understand why they just sit there and take it when he does dumb shit. So anyway, there's my pairing.
I love that you went animated to real life, because yes. I will be doing the same thing later.
Oh,
it okay. was always my intention to do that when we talked about this. I was like, I knew I had a few different characters that I wanted to do it with, and I wasn't sure what direction I was going to go.
Great.
I love that you did it. Yeah, I think that's a great pick. Okay. I would say my question is, when you're building friends from other character or from show to show, are we sure that those two, I know they're similar, but I feel like that would probably mean they would hate each other.
You're absolutely right. And honestly, you know, looking at my list after I did this, I really did this as like characters that are in common. I don't know that they
No. I like what you did because I did something similar, but I did them a little different. Yeah.
They're kind of opposite. Sometimes opposites attract, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, the jury's out. But that was the goal. And then when I looked back on it, I went, yeah, they might not be friends, but.
So I will tell you the one that I was like, it's a similar situation there was the cartoon to real life one where I was like, I feel like I would want to do complimentary pieces. I wanted to do Courage the Cowardly Dog and somebody else, like a very brave character, but I couldn't quite figure out who it was.
How about the girl from Brave?
Oh, wow.
I don't know who that is. I've never seen the movie.
The redhead.
Yeah. Right. I don't know her name.
Red hair, pink hair. She both have colored hair. That's the big commonality there that would get them to be friends. But yes. No, I like where you did there. Yeah, I could definitely see the So this actually I think is in the same exact vein as that.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ted from How I Met Your Mother. Oh, and Ross. I
hate that show.
Ross from Friends.
Oh, okay.
Two of the saddest fucking losers in the biz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Very true.
Yeah. Also, both with degrees / jobs. Only someone with the other one's personality would find interesting outside of a one-time party setting.
Remind me what Ted is.
Ted is an architect.
Architect and archaeologist, right? Or
paleontologist.
Archaeologist, whatever, yeah.
They're both hopeless romantics, always searching for the girl. Eventually, while they were friends, Ross would be left sad and lonely when Ted meets Mom. But then they get a little reunion show together when she dies. R.I.P. in peace. Mom.
Hmm. What?
What?
What do you mean? They get a reunion?
So, like, if we're assuming these are, like, TV show characters, okay, I guess we could do it differently.
Okay,
I see. If they're from the universes, you're like...
Got it.
We're getting a basically hopeless romantic show after Ted's wife dies in the initial show.
No, I think the similarities between those two are definitely uncanny. I think you nailed it on that one. Agreed.
Okay.
Two shitty shows, though.
I've seen How I Met Your Mother like 7 times, so I just gonna have to defend it. That's fine. Friends definitely overrated.
I am gonna go with my second choice to two dramas rather than comedies. I'm gonna go with Walter White from Breaking Bad, in case you didn't know. And Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones.
I almost did a very similar pairing.
Oh, did you? Okay. Both old white dudes who are both very aware that their lives could end at any moment.
Okay.
Both of them are extremely calculated. They're always like 2 or 3 steps ahead of their enemies. They're playing chess while their enemies are playing checkers.
Right.
They both often outwardly claim that family is like the number one most important thing, but really we know that these dudes just crave power.
They're just incredibly self-centered.
They just want to carve out their own legacy. That's all they really fucking care about. They try to make people think it's for their family. It ain't. They'd throw their family under the bus if they had to. Both of them have a son with a disability. I wanted to throw that in there.
I was actually quoting Walt Jr. this morning.
Good.
Can I not do that? You can cut that if you want to.
No, I won't.
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit. That's how I did it.
Yeah, he gets really mad when I do that. Walter Jr. And you could argue that Jamie is the one with the disability. He got his hand cut off, but
I
was
done. Oh, and I mean, you could argue as like a some kind of mental disability of wanting to bang his sister a bunch.
So then the sister has the mental disability too. All right. They also, shit, I lost my place here. Both of them are indirectly responsible for killing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. True.
And probably directly.
I feel like Tywin's is pretty direct.
But if you're like a military strategist, are killing those dudes. And lastly, both of them were shot and killed. One by a crossbow. So that doesn't really play into their friendship at all. I just wanted to point that out. But I think these two could get along. They would share some values. But these two don't really have friends in general. They don't really care about having friends.
Yeah, I guess this would have been a more apt, like, obscure characters we could compare across shows would have been, like, the more apt description of what we were doing.
Right, which is was pretty much what I've done.
I did try to... See, I wanted to do something similar there with, like... I was going to go, like, Marie and some other shitty character from another show that I hated.
Is that the sister-in-law?
Marie is, yeah, the sister-in-law, yeah, from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But I think I went with people who I think it was like a more lighthearted thing just to make them actually friends. But I think that the comparison is very good, especially the part about like claiming to care about family only, but really it's just like a personal gain thing.
Right. Exactly.
Be impressive, Noel. Look at you. You're like a...
Thank you. Savant.
I want to say poet.
Oh. Yeah, you can call
me. But it's like a wordsmith maybe. Yeah, wordsmith might be it.
Okay.
Let's go there. All right, my next one. I don't know if you watched this other show, so I'll go with the other one first. Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec.
I do watch that show.
Chris Turk from Scrubs.
Oh, I do watch Scrubs.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I love Scrubs. So these are two guys who have very similar love arcs in their shows, but so they end up getting the girl that works under the stingy boss at their respective places of work. So Carla would essentially work under Dr. Cox, and April works under Ron Swanson. Also, guys who are just always down for a good time and like to joke around. Most importantly, though, their love of dogs. Andy and April obviously have Champion, their three-legged dog. And Turk and JD affectionately own Rowdy, who is a stuffed dog that they move around their apartment.
That's right.
So another disabilities kind of connection there. What do you got going on? What do you think?
An affinity for disabled dogs.
Yeah.
Love that. Definitely. I was trying to think Andy Dwyer. Who was I? I started going Kevin Malone for Andy Dwyer. They could be in a band together.
Okay.
Drums and guitar. But no, I really like that. And they have the type of personalities where, like, even though it's weird that Andy and April, if you really take a step back, Andy shouldn't like April.
No, not at all.
It doesn't make sense. No. It doesn't make sense at all. Andy would like dudes that are just like Andy. So
I agree.
Yeah, love it. And Turk is indeed. Okay, my last one. I did cross over one more office pick, and I did go Parks and Rec. So I'm gonna go with Jeremy Jam.
You got
from Parks and Rec.
Wait, can I think for a sec?
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be
from The Office.
You got jammed. To The Office, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go jamming Dwight, are you?
No, in fact, I'm going to go Todd Packer from The Office.
Oh, yeah, that's what's that the guy from Anchorman, right?
Yes, exactly, yes, the bald guy. Yeah. So both of these dudes, so this, I think, is a situation where... I think these guys are very similar and they would actually like each other's company. They're both
This is one where they would definitely be friends. Right, like they'd be just friends. Have they making disgusting jokes in their basement all day.
Yes, exactly. They're both total douchebags who would definitely not have jobs in 2020.
And have a conjoined Pornhub account for like the next 40 years or something like that.
Exactly. The premium account.
Yeah.
They're constantly making sexually inappropriate jokes and racially insensitive comments. I'm just gonna give you a few quotes. That's all I have for this. I just really want to hear
some quotes. I'm ready.
This one gets me every time I see this episode. Where's Michael Snot sniffing some dude's thong? Probably. Okay. Love that one. All right, that is Todd Packer. Then here's this one. Pawnee's cavity problem is why a small town dentist like me can afford such a boss ride. Got an Asian girl to sit in it one time.
One of the best quotes from any TV show I've ever heard, honestly. I fucking lost it when he said that.
Another Jeremy jam is when Leslie says, "Nice putter." He says, "Thank you very much. Some fat Hawaiian guy left it in my waiting room. When he came back, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it." Oh, my gosh. Jammy jam, good stuff. And the last one by Todd Packer, which probably isn't as good as the other ones. He says, "Truth is, I got a couple love bumps on my ding dong, so I was like, oh, game over." No context there.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, these guys would get along.
Get along very well. Yeah, okay. If you've seen Jeremy Jam walking around in his kimono, I think you'd understand.
I think my favorite Jeremy Jam line is when he's on the phone and he's just like totally disappointed. He's like, "We got jammed."
Yeah.
Because obviously,
the jam. It's his jam. All right, Noel, my last one. Another is my actual cartoon regular TV crossover.
Yes.
Taco from The League.
Okay, yep.
And Shaggy and Scooby from Scooby-Doo. You could probably toss basically any TV stoners in here, so the That 70s Show gang, Towley, mm-hmm. or even the dudes from Workaholics, but I like the combo of these three the most. Mm-hmm. I think that inevitably they wind up... Taco would wind up getting Shaggy and Scoob to open or into a lot of wild situations, and they would inevitably open a stoner taco shop together where Shaggy has no clue that he got the idea from Taco's name. It's like the entire premise of it. He's like, "Yeah, just hit me one day." And, like, Taco's just kind of like staring at him in the background, and nobody is any of the wiser.
I feel like Shaggy Taco could be the name of a taco place.
You think so? Right. Better than Scooby Taco?
Scooby Taco, Scooby.
What about Taco Scoobs?
All right, yeah, I'm in. That actually sounds like an SEC linebacker. I
feel it does. Taco Scoobs.
Taco Scoobs with the pick six.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Well, there was this Scooby.
Scooby Wright from Scooby Arizona, Wright.
And then Taco. Charlton.
Taco Charlton.
Well, he was Michigan. He was
Michigan.
Well,
yeah,
they're both Pac-12, so maybe it's a Pac-12 linebacker. What did you say? Arizona State?
Do you think Michigan's in the Pac-12?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I did that. Big 10 is what I meant to say.
There you go.
Yeah, close enough.
Right.
Yeah. Michigan, Pacific.
Man. It's all there. Well, hit us up on Twitter or email us at rookieshowpod@gmail.com. If you think you have a better set of friends from any random TV shows you might know, give us some reasoning. You know, maybe we'll shout you out. I don't know. All right, Noel, let's do a little preview of Week 5 in the NFL. Starting out with, of course, everybody's new favorite part, Teaser Night Football.
Teaser Night Football, hashtag TNF. I am excited. What do we got this week?
This week, Noel, we have the Bucks -4 over the Bears and the over-under set at 44.5. What do you like?
Let me start by saying the voicemail that all the listeners heard last week where I told you you sucked at gambling and I was good at gambling, and I think I called you a bitch, possibly
couple times.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I think a moron, I think,
yeah,
maybe
I believe so.
At one point.
Yeah.
That karma, the gambling gods, they struck, and they struck swift and fast and hard on me. Definitely my worst loss in some time after the first 3 weeks of very lucrative weeks. And it started with Teaser Night Football when I talked you into Jets and the under. where the final score was like 37-28 Broncos, I think, between Brett Rippon and Sam Darnold. So
I will say I did initially offer up Broncos in the over, but I gave in very quickly. That's on me. Probably because of your voicemail. You really cut me down.
Here was the number one thing I should have listened to you is your quote, which is Thursday night games are weird.
Thursday night games are weird.
If you actually watched that game, half of the points that were scored were weird. There was like the Jerry Jeudy touchdown was a pick for like the DB's just waiting for it, and they just kind of like crumples, and Jerry Jeudy just reaches over and grabs it, runs for a touchdown. There was all kinds of weird plays that just really was funky. So the point is, I don't apologize, but I'm going to defer to you here. Do you want me to tell you where I'm leaning first?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you where I'm leaning and why. Let me just start by saying the average total score in the NFL the last 3 weeks, week 2, 3, and 4, 53.2, Coin. 53.2 is
That's the average total score?
The average total score.
Holy shit.
I'm leaning Bucks and over.
Bucks plus 2.
I would like a 7-point tease. I'd like to get them down to plus 3. And then we'd go over 37.5. Here's my reasoning. Well, number one, Tom Brady admitted recently that he was strongly considering going to the Chicago Bears. So this feels like a gut punch to the Bears game of like, oh shit, we could have had that guy. Number two, Nick Foles, Super Bowl revenge game. Brady versus Foles, right?
Okay.
There's that. And then just Brady, first time with the Bucks in prime time, where he's got something to prove. Those are all basically the same reason of Brady's extra motivated, which is really a baseless reason to gamble on a team. But that's my thoughts.
I definitely am in on the over, but I am leaning Bears here. I think that the Bears the right pick. For the opposite reason, I think that Foles got slandered all last week and people were telling him he wasn't the right quarterback and they made a mistake actually going to him full time. And he's like, this is the guy I beat in the Super Bowl. I just have to come out and do it again. I can totally do it. And so I think that the play is Bears plus 10 and over 38.5.
You heard it here first on the Rookie Show pod from Elvis Coin. Foles owns Brady.
Foles owns Brady. That's a fact.
I'm in. I would love to go Bears and over. Let's do it. Lock it in.
Lock it in, baby. Let's go. All right, Noel, give me your week 4 bet recap. So, wildly enough, really quickly, all of my bets hit from this, but I did not listen to any of them.
And oddly enough, 2 of my 3 bets hit.
Yeah. Go on.
So, as Coin pointed out, I gave out 3 bets. I gave out Browns plus 4.5, which was genius. I should have put them as my Gucci main pick.
I'm shocked you didn't. Out, right? Yeah.
I should have. I gave out Cardinals minus 4 at Panthers, which was a big loss and is pretty much the sole reason I lost all my money this week.
Yeah, pretty much ruined my entire weekend.
I threw them in every little parlay and tease. That was my most confident pick, so I apologize. Yep. Other one I gave out was Bucks and Hawks, a 6-point teaser, which was a great tease because the Bucks were favored by 7.5 and they won by 7, so teasing them down a little bit. Got the win. So I was 2 for 3 on my bets for the pod and somehow lost a significant amount of money. What about you?
So, Noel, I was actually 2-0-1 on my bets in the pod and also lost money. Undefeated. So I had Ravens minus 13 over Washington football team. True. So they put that on Sunday when I got it was minus 14, which pushed, but minus 13 on the pod. I love the Bills minus 2.5 at the Raiders. I believe they won by 6 maybe?
Sounds right.
And then I had Seahawks Dolphins over 54 points, which actually pushed. So 2-0-1 on the week.
So maybe, you know what? I'm pretty sure I've gone 2-1 pretty much every week on my podcast.
Yeah, I think I've at least hit 2 of them. Yeah.
I feel like, listeners, if you're following our advice, I think you're winning money.
I agree. And I think that I might need to move away from doing all my parlays and teases. I might just start betting games.
Yeah, I would be
smarter. Wild concept.
I started doing that when we stopped betting together, and I definitely was better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Noel, give me three games you like. Actually, give me your first game that you like.
I'm going to start this off with a fucking bang right here. You're going to fucking love this.
Give it to me.
Breaking two rules with one parlay to start it off.
I love it.
I would like to parlay the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons money lines at plus 150.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out what the best name for this parlay is. Here are my top two options. You can tell me if they're good or not.
I hate it parlay because they're 0-8.
Well, that one is definitely true. But there are four winless teams in the league, those two and the Jets and Giants. So I'm calling it the City That Never Sleeps or Wins parlay.
Oh.
Because if these two teams win, the Jets and Giants will be the only winless teams in the league. Or we call it the I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. Parlay.
That one. It's obviously that one. Okay. The sing-songy one.
It's I will be jumping to the Falcons and Texans fans. Just like, you know, 0-5 would make you jump. So
will I let the Falcons hurt me again? Yes. Yes,
I absolutely will. Listen, the Texans, Bill O'Brien gone. I feel like weight off of Watson's shoulders. Just ball out, baby.
We talked about this. I love teams after the coach leaves. After they have a much maligned coach leave and you get the interim one in, I love the team that next week.
It is absurd that an 0-4 team is favored by 6.5 points in a division game.
But insane. Absolutely insane. I've never seen that in my life.
That's for taking money line.
Yeah,
and Falcons is a horrible bet, but let's do it. I don't even know. Who are they playing?
Panthers.
Panthers, who I think are a two-game win streak, right?
Yeah.
All right. Your thoughts?
I'm in. Yeah, let's
do
it.
Okay, good.
All right, first, Colts -1.5 feels like a great bet. I know I've been hurt by Phil, and the Browns seem to be clicking, but they just played pretty awful teams. Like, I just don't think the Cowboys are good, and at least their defense is terrible. And, I mean, Washington is just not going to put themselves in a position to win any games. I would argue that the Ex-Skins actually played the Browns better than the Cowboys did. And I think that says something. And Colts -1.5 should probably be, like, -4.5. So I like that.
You're probably right. I don't know how you make a 3-1 team more than a 1 or 2 point home dog. I mean, I think the Browns
it's deserve in Cleveland?
More cred. I thought it was.
Oh shit!
Did I make
that makes up? More sense? No, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think if it was in Indy, it would be at least a 3.5 point line.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay. No comment there.
Okay. Love it.
I'm gonna go with my next one, which is back to the bank. With a alarm LA Rams / Seattle Seahawks 6-point teaser. You've got Larm against my DC TBD. Kyle Allen starting the game for the first time for Washington versus a guy named Aaron Donald. I don't think that goes well for him so much.
Yep.
And then you've got the Seattle Seahawks against Minnesota, who scares me a little bit because we all know Kirky owns Russ. I mean, like, everybody knows that.
It's the game I was going to go to. I was supposed to be there this weekend.
We were there when Kirky went into Seattle and beat Russ's ass.
He pointed right at me.
He pointed right at Coin. It's true. He said, Coin, I love you, buddy. But I'm going to stick by my guns. I said last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't think Minnesota's a good football team, people. And I think Seattle is one of the top. You know, if an upset happens, so be it. But I think Seattle's good, and I think Minnesota's not. So let's not overthink this.
I don't hate it. I'm just going to, instead of responding, I'm just going to jump into mine.
Good.
I have a 4-team money line parlay. Those two games are both in it.
Sweet.
The other two are the Ravens over the Bengals and the Cardinals over the Jets. I know the Cardinals just screwed us. The Jets fucking suck, and it's Joe Flacco starting. So this money line parlay is +133.
It's a great bet. I can't do that to myself. The Cardinals are just, On top of that, I was like all in on Kenyon Drake in fantasy, and he's just been just abysmal. So yeah. I can't do it, but
it's Joe Flacco. I give it a
thumbs up. Yeah, that's funny because Darnold is the only saving grace. Like, he's like actually made some good plays this year, and now it's Joe Flacco with that roster.
Yeah.
God, you're probably right. You're probably right. I'll probably jump in there.
Okay, cool. All right, give me your last one.
Let's just throw the Falcons and Texans on that.
Oh, God, no, stop.
All right. My last one, I feel very good about. Cowboys, Giants, over 54 points. As I mentioned to you, the average for the last 3 weeks in the NFL is 53. So that's only 1 point higher. Do you know the average total for the last three Cowboys games?
Yeah, it's 73 points.
78 points is the average total score of the last three Cowboys games. 78 is an absurd number. That's Big 12 numbers. And then on top of that, I guess the counter to that would be like the Giants have scored single digits twice and no more than 17 points this season. I get that. Believe me, I get that. They've also played some actually pretty damn good defenses. Daniel Jones right now has a touchdown rate of 1.3%, which is the lowest mark through the first four games of the season since Jamarcus Russell in 2009. That's a good stat. Anytime you can throw yourself in the ring with 09 Jamarcus Russell, you're doing good. But I think that's reason for optimism. Stuff like touchdown rate is kind of fluky. It'll regress to the mean at some point.
Are you giving me law of large numbers right now?
I am. He's gonna luck in. Oh, he's gonna luck into some touchdowns. Are you kidding me? He threw touchdowns last year. He's capable of throwing touchdowns. His receivers aren't that bad. They got Golden Tate and Darius Slayton, and you know, I think they got a Latimer or something like that. I don't know. Victor Cruz? He's still around? No,
I think Victor's still around.
I mean, the Cowboys, listen, the Giants are abysmal. They're the worst team the Cowboys have played this far. The Cowboys are guaranteed 30 points at the minimum. You don't
love- I'm out. I can't do it. I can't bet on the Giants offense to do anything. I got burned a couple times by this last week, and I thought that there was no way that the Falcons Packers wasn't going over 55.
Yeah.
I thought that the Seahawks Dolphins was going to go over 55, did not. So I can't get burned by that again.
I understand.
My last one is Seahawks Vikings under 57.5 points. So the Vikings are only good when they're running the ball. Literally, take the ball out of Kirk's hands. The team is only going to be good if Dalvin Cook is running. So to score points, they would need to do so. Lots of running and overs usually do not mix, especially with such a high over total. I just don't see this game getting over 57 points.
Okay. I was looking at the Seahawks, and they have not scored less than 31 points this year.
Fine. You're telling me that the Vikings are just going to score 26?
I'm not telling you that.
Right.
I'm inclined to bet the Seahawks -7 because, like I said, I think Seahawks ingund, and I think Minnesota...
Seahawks ingund?
Inangund.
Correct.
I don't love that. I'll just leave.
That's
it.
Fine.
We're on our own paths here.
I like Although this. We like I like, all this. I like that we're comments. Diverging a little bit.
I know. That's true. That's good. Okay.
All right, Noel. It's time for our Gucci Mane underdog picks of the week. Right, everybody, we're giving these picks either a Gucci. Wait, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
That's the middle one. Thank you. Yeah, for the middle. Or a burr if we don't like the games. So, correct. Noel, why don't you go ahead and give me your underdog pick for this week?
Quickly, I'll just recap here. Last week, I had the Bears +3 against the Colts. Bad pick. Coin had the Pats +7.
I'm willing to. Okay. Thank you.
I'm willing to nullify the pick.
Thank you.
Because this was before Cam went out. So I'm not going to count it against your record.
Appreciate that.
So it is still Travis 1, Elvis 0. Only one winning week out of 8. I mean, only
that's
one.
Pretty bad, actually.
1 out of 8 correct picks, yeah. I am 1-3 straight up and 2-2 against the spread. Coin 0-3, 0-3.
Right.
Okay. My pick, and the reason I said no comment earlier, as you can imagine, this will not surprise you at all. I'm once again going to pick against the Colts in my Gucci Mane pick with the Cleveland Browns. I have it at +1.5. I think you might have said more. I'll take more points.
No, I said 1.5.
Oh, you did? Okay, that makes sense. I gotta be honest, this felt like a default pick. There's a lot of big lines.
Huge lines. It's hard.
There's like only like 3 lines under 6 points. And so, I mean, I guess you could go Bears maybe, but maybe. I'm going to go Browns. I just think the Browns have looked good. I think Baker is settling into his role and knowing that he's not... I think he's starting to understand that their path to success is not him, you know, throwing all over the place. It's him managing the game with mm-hmm. their running game. I think losing Nick Chubb hurts, but Kareem Hunt is legitimately one of the 6 best running backs in the league, so they're going to be fine running the ball. I'm just going to keep... I think either one or both of us have bet on every Colts game this year, despite the rule that you can't bet on the Colts or right. Phil Rivers. And I'm pretty sure we've been on the losing end of every single one. So yeah. At some point, you're in a slump. You just keep shooting. Just keep shooting.
Couldn't agree more. The J.R. Smith approach.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it's the Colts.
Yeah.
I won't be jumping in on that with you for sure.
Yeah.
But, so I'm going to give that a burr.
Okay, understood.
But, you did call mine out. I will actually be taking the Bears money line tomorrow night against the Bucks. I think that the Bears didn't show exactly what they were. They only had a week to prepare with their starting quarterback at this point. I really don't like what I've seen out of the Bucks so far. I know that Brady threw 5 touchdowns last week, but it felt fluky. It felt funny. It didn't feel right. And I like the Bears on a short week against an old quarterback who maybe just got hit a bunch and isn't ready to be hit again.
Okay. I'm on board with you for the teaser, so you know, I'm betting them +10. I will not. Okay. I'm gonna give it a yeah. Because I had talked myself into the narrative of Brady, but really had no backup, or like I wasn't basing this on my actual opinions of these teams. Sometimes I just go, how do I envision the post-game press conference sounding like? Not necessarily a good betting strategy. So
not always the best betting strategy, no.
You get a yeah. There.
I get a yeah. I'll take a yeah. All right, everybody. Well, actually, that'll do it for another episode of your favorite podcast, The Rookie Show. You can follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter, and you can email us at rookieshowpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter. Noel, where can the people find you?
The people can find me at TheCreamFillin on Twitter. You can follow me at CTravisNoel on Instagram. The C, of course, stands for cock.
Jeez. All right.
Well, chicken.
Who's playing us out, Noel?
DMX.
Oh, play us out, DMX. See you, everybody. Peace.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Up in here. I got to bring it to you cowards, then it's gonna be quick. All your mates have been to jail before, suck my dick. And all the motherfuckers you run with, get done with, dumb quick.
I fuck you going poke the dog or some bum shit. Aight, they go to gun click, 911 shit, all over some dumb shit. Ain't that some shit? And niggas remind me of a strip club. Cause every time you come around, it's like, what? I just gotta get my dick sucked. And I don't know who the fuck you think you talking to, but I'm not him, I explain, so watch what you do, or you gon' find yourself very next to someone else. And we all thought you loved yourself, but that couldn't have been the issue. Or maybe they just saying that now cause they miss you. Shit, a nigga tried to diss you. That's why you laying on your back, looking at the roof of the church. Preacher telling the truth and it hurts.
Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
Off the chain, I leave niggas soft in the brain. Cause niggas still want the fame, off the name. First of all, you ain't rap long enough to be fucking with me. And you ain't strong enough. So whatever it is you pumping on, I got you thinking that you Superman. I got the kryptonite, should I smack him with my dick in the mic? Y'all niggas is character, it's not even good actors. What's gonna be the outcome? It's out of all the factors. You whack, you twisted, your girl's a hoe. You broke, the kid ain't yours, and everybody know. Your own man say you stupid, you be like, so, I love my baby mother, I never let her go. I'm tired of weak ass niggas whining over foot that don't belong to them. Fuck is wrong with them? They fucking up for real niggas like my mans and them, who get it all with the strip or the hands with them.
Man, y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me lose my cool. Up in here, up in here.
I bring down rain so heavy it hurts the head. No more talking. Put him in the dirt instead. You keep walking, that you trying to end up red. Cause if I end up dead, I end up dead. Cause you's a soft type nigga, fake up north type nigga. Push like a soft white nigga. Dog is a dog, blood sticking in water. We done been through the mud and we quicker to slaughter. The bigger the order, the more guns we want out. When up in there, everybody come out. Don't nobody burn out. Sun in the sun out, I'ma keep the gun out. Nigga running his mouth, I'ma blow his lung out. Listen, your ass is about to be missing. You know who gon' find you? Some old man fishing. Grandma wishing your soul's at rest, but it's hard to digest with the size of the hole in your chest.
Y'all gon' make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here.
Now.